Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Listen in as we discuss all things business, growth, and marketing with business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs. And now, here's your host, founder of Roundhouse, the creative agency, Saul Edmonds.
Oh, hey, everyone. Welcome yet again to the Grow Your Business podcast. Today, I said this last time, it was amazing. I just happened to get on the computer and all of a sudden Michelle and Diane were just on Zoom. It's amazing. I can't believe technology. can you believe it? Michelle and Diane are collectively known as those two sisters, but they're like real individual people as well, aren't you?
We are individual people and we are actual sisters. Real blood sisters, same mum, same dad.
Real actual sisters. So it's not just a funny. Actually, the first time I heard that, those two sisters, because it has that. The only time you ever hear that is when people are referring to, which is I guess the intention when they go, oh, those two sisters, you know, as a some sort of reference. It was kind of like that. It was cool.
Yeah, that's what everyone was calling us. So when we changed our branding, we decided, well, why not name it what everyone was already calling us? Because they would all be like, those two sisters did this and those two sisters could do this and that. And I was like, well, it sticks. It's memorable. It's different. It's
I like it.
And yeah, it works.
It's a part of, yeah, because it's a part of just something you would say, it's got a different sort of slant to it. So what I usually always say, just generally for people who have no idea who you are, those two sisters, what you get up to, could you, like, either one of you or both at the same time in a crazy frenetic sort of like pace, just give everyone a little bit of a snapshot as to what you get up to currently at this point in your lives?
Right. I'll say the start and Diane can say the punchline. So we hold space for successful business women who are stuck in their head to drop out of their head back into their heart space so they can actually listen to their own whispers, and that allows them to, Diane?
Cut the crap, do the thing, and be the woman that they were born to be. So you'll notice Michelle went first. She is the older sister of both of us, although I do have the grey hairs. And I'm the younger one. Michelle's a more wiser one. Do you want to share, Michelle, your journey on how we got here, like being able to help other businesswomen? I think that's a really important part of the journey.
Yeah, I think that line that you just said is really important, so I'm going to repeat it again. So we help businesswomen stuck in the head to cut the crap, to do the thing and be the woman they were born to be, because there's so many women out there, particularly businesswomen, that are just doing life without at the expense of other things. And that was me and Diane at some stage in our life as well. And we've been in that unfulfilled place where we're waking up every day like there's got to be more to life. What the hell is doing this? Crying in the shower at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, not crying in the shower. You're either crying in the shower, could be 2 o'clock in the morning, or our big one, and the one for me was the 2 a.m., I call it the 2 a.m. toilet break, where it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're sitting there, you know, having your wee-wee in the middle of the night, and there's nothing to stop your brain going. There's nothing to hide behind. There's no noise. There's no busyness. And all of a sudden you get that shit. There's got to be more. This is just shit. I don't want to do this anymore. And Diane's was waking up in the morning wishing she could go back to bed.
So and I think that came, well, for you, Michelle, you were in the police force for nearly 25 years. So in a very masculine role and job, and didn't get the vax, so you got the sack. And for me, being a busy overachiever, I was an athlete. So I got a gold medal at the national titles when I was 17 years old, schoolgirl national title. So total overachiever, learn early, sacrifice, strive, push. And there'll be so many listening to this podcast that probably do exactly the same. So now both of us have had that journey and we've popped out the other side and we know how to have a successful, fulfilling business. And that's what we do. We support other women to cut the crap and do the thing that they said they want to do or that their whispers are telling them to do, but they're not really sure how. If they got all the bullshit excuses or they're stuck in life, you know, being conflicted between motherhood or parenthood and running a business and making a difference in the world. And we do that through running retreats. We've got online masterminds and it's so fulfilling. And one of the best parts about it is that we do get to do it together with other incredible women. So that's it in a snapshot, in a very crisp, clean snapshot of who we are and what we do.
I think that's pretty damn good. That's like a really that's super clear and I'm very well explained. And I wouldn't it's because it's always it is I guess for like a lot of people I get a bit more practice on the podcast talking about stuff, but you know it's still always like to actually have all your ducks in a row and to explain things, especially I guess where I mean maybe you can speak to this then too is this in this area where things have a tendency or can be like very amorphous, you know, in terms of like, you know, you're talking about, you know, these whispers and like, you know, what, you have to make a change or, you know, you have to do something, but then the hard part, which is like, you know, I guess where you guys actually come in is like, where do you start? Like, what do you do? Are those whispers, are those things even right? You know, like are those voices in your head like the right things? I mean, you know, and then it's a big change. Like there's big, like I've had my wife and I've had like various things happen in our lives, like a lot of people have, where you go, geez, this sounds pretty risky to do that. Like, you know, should I? Like could I? And like, you know, is that, you know, and because you don't know, there's an element in the, I guess, the non-religious sense of, you know, or and for some people, the religious sense of having faith to do it. Like, then you got to have, you know, the faith, which I tend to, like, really a lot more than I ever have these days, lean into that word, because it seems to be, for me, like, the best word I can think of. I mean, maybe in other languages they say it in, you know, a better way, but in English there's that word and it seems to be the most descriptive word for me of that point, that funny point between going, you know, you have to, you don't know where you're going to go, but you're going to do it anyway because it feels right. And then, you know what I mean? Like it's yeah. it's hard to... And I guess like as like a segue from that, can you talk about like, I guess, you know, some specific things kind of maybe as to when you're speaking with people, how you come to, you know, some realizations for people or, you know, or even start that process to go, what do you do? How do you get there?
As you're speaking, Saul, I'm nodding and smiling and like,
I'm nodding, talking our language.
Let me answer this. So first of all, like rewinding to the very first thing that you said, and I understood that there's a few different voices, not just in your head, just not in my head or Michelle's head or the listener's head. There's all these voices. I like to say like there's all these tabs open, like a computer and all these programs running in the background. And you've got a voice telling you to do this, that, and there's about probably 56, 57 voices. So as an entrepreneur and as a person who is passionate about life, it's about discerning which one of these voices do I listen to and how do I press minimize on all the other voices that are not serving me at the moment? So the way that we broke this up, because you're not the only one experiencing it, me and Michelle is still experiencing it and I see it in our clients all the time. So we broke it up into two main voices. Yes, just simply two. There is your whisper, which comes from, depending on your belief, from your intuition or from higher power, and we don't need to name that because everyone's got some form of idea or belief outside of themselves to different degrees. So we call that your whisper, and that is a whisper. It's quiet. It's the thing that's saying, you know, leave your husband or leave the job or start the business or call this person. Some people call it intuition. Other people call it a nudge. Like you'll have your name for it. Now, the other voice that's very clear and a lot louder for most people is what we have coined the term the wounding. The wounding comes from your head. The wounding comes from the trauma. The wounding comes from past and other people that have told you in society, you're not good enough. You don't know how to do that. Who are you to do that? Blah, 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 blah. So just take a moment here to discern between what is my whisper, what does it feel like, where does it sit in my body, what is my wounding, what does that feel like, what does it sound like, how hard is it? And then I'm going to hand over to Michelle because the next part of the question you asked was about faith. And Michelle has coined a term, We call it fat. It doesn't mean fat, but she's going to share how to learn to discern between those voices and then trust both the whisper and the wounding and have them work together, not make one right and one wrong and have them conflict and fight, which is what most people do. Then we run around in circles and get nothing done. Michelle's going to share our fat method. Michelle, you want to take it away?
Yeah, so the word fat, it's banned. I've got two young girls and they're not allowed to use the word fat in our household for, you know, you can imagine the reasons. But faith and trust. And so when you said faith stall, I was like, yeah, that's the word. And then you add trust into that and you come up with faith and trust fat. And we go through this. I go through this. Well, Dia touched on it before, how I left the police force after 25 years because my whisper said, one, not to get the vaccine, and nothing about vaccines. I've had them all up to that point, but something inside of me said, don't get it. And I trusted that decision. And then I made a decision and it was a big one. 25 years in the one secure job as a sergeant to go, and I'm a single mum as well, just to do my own business. Like, that took a lot of faith and trust. And there's so many different tools and techniques we could go, like, obviously not into today, but Di's written her third book, Diane, so called The Aligned Woman's Way. And it's for this exact topic. And in there, I write a chapter about my journey from the police force into, I call it the Get Shit Done Club versus Arnie Flow. That's your intuition. So when you're in the Get Shit Done, the GSD Club, how you act and how you behave, and has got to set rules, like you don't take breaks, you work your ass off, your family comes last, all the stuff, versus the Arnie Flow, which is your intuition, which is you look after yourself, you listen to your intuition, you make decisions, you set boundaries and all that. And it brings more of a flow into your life, but you sometimes become even more, or not sometimes, always become more, you achieve more when you're coming at it from that place versus the get shit done. But it's always an integration, right? It's like the head and the heart. It's not always head and it's not always heart. It's not always masculine and always feminine, not always get shit done and Arnie Flow. It's the integration of the two. And a lot of people are in the get shit done or the head space, and they're not integrating the heart or the flow or the intuition into it, which is where we come in.
And what I'd love to be able to offer up to all your listeners, Saul, is an opportunity to download Michelle's chapter. It's a 12-chapter book, and if anybody would like a free download of that, we're arranging it now, and we'll get that and put it in the show notes or offer it up for you to, so you can listen to Michelle's, and that will really flesh out what we both shared and speak directly to the person who is ready for more for life, who has these whispers coming in at 2 a.m. when you're going to the toilet or when you're driving, or, you know, Michelle shared that her whisper was leave, don't get the vaccine, and which in turn left her to leave her job. My whisper was write the book. My wounding was, I don't know how. I'm not smart enough to do that. I can't afford it. Three books later, I've already started my fourth, and it's because of what we do share in the books is how to discern between each of those voices, how to make faith and trust your new normal and anchor that to your daily, and then create and cultivate a community, you know, whether that's within you and your community. So we have it at BX, we met through BX, and get a really great coach and community on board to hold you accountable to taking the actions, because it's challenging. There is really, like you mentioned when you were chatting, so like it comes to the point where it's like it's terrifying is the word. When the whisper is coming in, because you don't know that version of yourself just yet. You've got the whisper and then you've got all the wounding and all the trauma telling you why you can't do the thing. There's only very few people in this world that will go past the terror of the void and the uncertainty and really integrate, like Michelle said, the voices and the faith and trust to take the next step in service of humanity, not just for me and my family, not for just Michelle and her family, or you and your family, but all the people that we can touch and we can support through this journey with this knowledge and this framework.
Yeah, I find it really sort of interesting, because the more, you know, this the podcast has actually helped me a lot, which is kind of why I probably keep doing it, because I have a chance to talk to so many different people and I get these sort of, you know, all these different sort of perspectives. But piecing, you know, as you piece things together over life and you go and you take this little piece from here and this little piece from there. And like, I find these interesting correlations between what you were just talking about in, and it was going to actually be like a question later on about the power of community, but I sort of see it all the time as sort of, I've always, assumed generally, say in the religious sense, with how people come together for all their various reasons. But at the heart of a lot of that is people actually being together and having support too, because it ends up being a community. And then there's like, you know, networking groups. I was a part, like I'm a part of various, you know, sporting things for like a long time. My wife and I did, were in like a martial arts club for like many, many years. And that was a very important part of our life, like in a very, like in a funny, which we've often reflected on, I had in a non-religious sense, but with the exact, you know, same benefits in like a lot of ways, like the support for each other through, you know, this sort of physical activity, like all these things. But there's all these kind of central points. It sort of seems there's a lot of universality to it. Like, and I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast too, and I find myself about me kind of understanding myself a bit more, going, I think one of the things I feel like I'm okay at is seeing repeating patterns in things, in like going, you know, I sort of see it, and it seems to work a lot for me in the world of design when I'm doing like, you know, visual things, like it's in that sense. But, you know, I've analyzed myself like after the fact, like after a podcast, and go, oh, that's interesting that I thought that. Why did I notice that? And then I thought, oh, maybe that's because, you know, I kind of like seeing it and I find it interesting. And then it ties back to meaning, you know, it, you know, therefore then it has some meaning. And so when you're working with other people in various, you know, the workshops and groups and retreats and all that, how you do, I get a little bit of a, like a strong sense when you're talking, the interplay that, the two of you have. And you can, I'm confirmed whether this is the case, like in the retreats, like, you seem to have like a really great, sort of repartee in, you know, exchange with how you're speaking. Is that how things usually roll out when you're doing, retreats and, the various things? Is it similar, like in that sort of way?
Yeah, very, very similar, because we're very different. We have very different strengths. We have completely different personalities. Diane is very big vision. We just talked about it with our coach yesterday. Yep. That she's like the CEO of the company, the big visions, the let's get this stuff, you know, big stuff happening. And I'm more the COO. So I'm the person that gets it going, like logistics, structure, processes. The funny thing is I'm very spiritual too. I do a lot of energy work and intuitive channeling and all sorts of weird and wonderful stuff. And Diane's also very spiritual as well and can do stuff as well. So we both have both bases covered, but we have our geniuses in our area. And we've worked out recently, we've just got to stick in our lane. There's no point me trying to be Diane or Diane trying to be me. And at retreats that we run, we just did an energetics of business retreat the other couple of weeks ago. And it's just phenomenal to have us bounce off each other. And we don't have the ego, like Diane does more of the coaching at retreats. And I'm fine with that, to take a back seat and I'll step forward if I need, and the other way around. Would you agree, Di?
Yeah, I think that's such an important part of anyone's journey is the community and knowing your roles within the community. Every community needs some leader. And for us in our business, we call that the CEO, like the visionary. And then not sitting underneath, but sitting beside is the COO. And we've got very different roles. And I think one of the biggest lessons is like it all filters from the top. So within the community of our retreats or our online masterminds, it's so important that Michelle and I, as the leaders of that space, really hold those roles. So it creates a very clear energetic for all of our clients to come into the space and co-create a community that has very solid boundaries and very clear and clean energetics, so they can show up in their own role with their own identity and their own persona. And simultaneously at the same time, when that is held really strong, there is this vision for each person that is beyond what they can have for themselves. So they will be witnessed in that vision, not necessarily just by me and Michelle as the leaders of the community, but by their peers within the community. And I heard you mention, you know, was it martial arts that you said that played such when communities come together with similar values and the culture being what can I give first from a full cup? What can I give this person or this interaction before what can I get and what can I take? And I've, you know, maintained that from even a small child into business, each interaction, not from an empty cup, from a full cup, what can I give this person? And that's why I align with BX. And when I met you, I felt that from you. I was like, this guy gets us. He understands. So there was a bond that was formed immediately because of our beliefs, our ideas. I would say the community is one of my most favorite things about everything that we get to do. And so much of my time, effort, and energy goes into like hand selecting and magnetizing all the right people who, you know, fit the values in the culture and want something more for life and are prepared and willing to step into the darkness and into the challenge and be witnessed and seen in the new version of themselves from a place of, you know, it gets to be this good. Not that I'm not good enough and I don't know how, but as well as it gets to be this good. And I wrote about it in all three of my books, because a lot of people think success is just about the 50K, 100K months, whatever it is that you want. They think it's monetary and they think it's all a lot of ego-based stuff. That's part of it. But the success to me is coming home to my husband and still being connected and intimate and close with him, as well as my kids, and co-creation of community. The community is so important in any amount of success because, you know, when you win something, when you do something amazing, when you hit that goal in business, what's the first thing and what most people want to do? They want to phone a friend and tell them about it. Yeah. Something great and amazing happens. You call your mate or your mum or your friend or someone within the community. If something shitty happens and you don't know where to turn to, you call a friend. Call someone. So we are connected beings, but society has adapted us into isolate. I can't speak for men. I don't work with men as much as I work with women. But what a lot of women do, especially high achievers and successful women, is, and they're doing real well in business and they're making shit tons of money and they're making waves in the world. But they go home, one, to an empty house, or two, to a husband, partner, and kids, where there's a lot of dysfunction and a lot of disconnection. And so what we do is support people to be really successful in the impact sense and the income sense, and equally as important within the connection of community. Your community will always be there. They'll support you. There's always someone because there's more than one person, and it amplifies and it gets to grow together. And I just say to anyone out there listening, find or create, because I started looking, but Michelle joined the business a couple of years after I started it. I started joining other communities and it didn't really align with my value. So I went and started my own. I was like, this is what's important to me. Boom, 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 boom. If you like the sound of this, come play. If you don't, there's another community out there for you. And I'll be the first one to sort of, you know, offer up different places to go. But in terms of any amount of success, community is critical and it's key. So you want to choose wisely or create wisely.
It's very true. Yeah. I mean, I can only say from, I mean, our experience, the reason, I guess, I mean, outside of just, you know, doing things like taekwondo and stuff is just fun and it's physical and you learn a bit of self-defense and all these cool things. But like the really big thing that we've, my wife and I have often reflected on is that, well, it was our club. I mean, it's not necessarily every club. Like we had a very family sort of orientated group, and I've been lucky to be part of like other groups like, you know, we're in, and, you know, maybe it's just been like blind luck that I've come across other great groups that have like similar feel. But the thing in Taekwondo was always that in our club was that we, the structure that was in place to actually, to proactively all the way through that system of ranks to teach those under you, I've often reflected on that. It's a tried and true sort of system, obviously, that works, that it puts a system in place to encourage you to do that. And then even right at the beginning, if you're kind of like, oh, I don't know about this, very quickly, like they say, the best way to learn is to teach. And like one, it puts that little bit of, you know, kind of good pressure on you to perform. then it kind of becomes, after like in sport, doing enough practice where you just naturally do it without having to think about it.
Osmosis. Then,
yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it becomes like a natural part. And then all of a sudden, I can't think specifically at the point at which I went, I didn't really think about it anymore, where it was very normal, and you really proactively want to share that what you've learned all the time, because I mean, maybe it's the point where you are far enough down the path where you go, oh, I was that person and I had the same people helping me, and you've got enough hindsight to go, oh yeah, right, yeah, of course, that's great. And then, you know, but that sort of system of making sure you do that, and I mean, I like you were saying before about you know, first and foremost to give, which, you know, on reflection too, I'm speaking about different patterns, seems to be for the most part a unifying factor amongst, you know, many of the world's, you know, you know, religions or things that are generally most people widely accept as good, seems to be that as a key feature. So I thought, well, it's obviously true because it works, and it's important for, you know, lots of reasons. But could I just like ask if, like, when you were speaking before about the different aspects of what you do, you know, for people and in groups, as far as like healing and energy, and then coaching, like in the, and as a big spectrum of things there. But what do you find? This is a fairly broad question, so feel free to tone it down into one example, maybe, because it might be too broad. Is that like when you're in your workshops or retreats, when those different types of elements come together, what do you find is there any unifying, overwhelming sort of response from people, especially who haven't encountered those types of things before, or your kind of a unique take where you're bringing a bunch of stuff all together? Like, what's the response from, is there any like stand out response more than other ones, where people are like, I've never like experienced this before, or, you know?
Yeah, do you want me to go first, Michelle, or yeah? When people enter our space, particularly the retreats, they'll walk in a certain way, and often, almost 100% of the time, their central nervous system is fried and they're on edge, and that's their normal, and they don't really know it. Within 3 hours of being at one of our retreats or within space with us, what happens is all those walls come down, and by 24 hours of being there, the community is so deeply connected. And this is the feedback that we get. They've never met. They all walk in strangers on the Thursday night. By Friday lunchtime, they feel like the time and space has lapsed and they've been there forever, and they know more about these people than they do, or each other, than they do the closest people in their life, being husbands, partners and friends, you know, immediate family members. When they walk into the space, they won't even often know people's name or what they do for business or what their business is. Because what's happening is we're removing all the layers and all the masks people wear in a very loving and safe environment. And there's a readiness for this. There's a willingness for this. Like, if you're listening to this, you'll have two voices going on in your head right now. Oh my gosh, this sounds amazing. I've got to get myself there. And then the wounding will start and be like, I can't afford a retreat. I can't take 3 or 4 days out. Oh, this sounds a bit scary. She's talking about stuff that's like hitting my soul. I'm going to avoid that. So you need to choose.
Or it's like strange to people, and they've got to, they're like, I don't know what that means.
Weirdos. Yeah. And that will be your wounding, but your heart will know, and you'll either like carry on, or you're going to think about this later. And so that's the feedback we get, is that people meet more than just the face we put onto the world. And we give content. There's a load of content that's very valuable and serves so many people, and the frameworks and the education. You can learn the education anywhere. What we are really well known for, and the feedback we get in terms of community, is the lifelong bonds that are formed and will outlive me, Diane, the brunette, and Michelle, my older sister, the blondie. It's going to outlive our lifetime. So I could leave the earth tomorrow, and I know the friends and bonds formed within our community will continue to run, and very likely our community. So we're training people, preparing people, empowering people to step up and become leaders within this community, so they can then carry that legacy on in a way that feels really in alignment to them. So hopefully I've answered the question. Michelle, what do you want to add to that?
Not too much. It's school holidays here, and that was carrying on, and I didn't actually hear the start of the question. So I'll let you just, that'll be done for that question. But we like to keep it real here. Like, it's not always portrayed on social media. It's not always what's actually going on behind the scenes. And I think that's a part of her message too, is taking the masks off, like cutting the crap and saying, like, this is what's going on. Because, yeah, they were saying, telling me the plumber's here and they're waving at me, and I didn't even hear the question. So we'll continue on, and, I'll be listening again soon.
and I think that's part of being part of a community, is actually being seen for who you really are in a really authentic way.
Of course,
like, even when I jumped on the call, we were laughing because I had lettuce in my teeth, and I was like, oh, yeah, here we are. Lucky it's a podcast, no one can see me.
But it's power to support as well, like the fact
or
that.
Can they see you? No, they can't. No, they actually can't see you.
Because there's two of us, right? So that's community in itself. I go see the plumber, Di takes over.
But they can see, but they can, like reading a book, you can see it in your mind's eye. You can imagine Diane with lettuce in her teeth.
Yeah. And you can imagine Michelle sending a message at 12:55 when we're supposed to be on here at 1:00, and we've got a full morning back to back, and she's like, oh, this isn't in your calendar, but can you jump on a call on a podcast with Saul at 1:00? And I was like, but I haven't had lunch yet. Which is why I had lettuce in my teeth. But anyway, we get it done.
I still haven't had lunch.
Do you go crazy if you don't eat? We get hangry.
Sometimes if I'm really hungry, but I don't really go crazy.
We never meet each other hangry because we see each other at BX. So we've always had breakfast and we're caffeinated. So that's perfect.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody's completely satisfied. And then you can just reflect on it during and afterwards and go, wow, wasn't that great? That was like really energizing, which it always generally is, especially at South Brisbane. Everyone's like, whoa, what's going on? You know, and all the new people are like, whoa, I can't handle this. I have to get out of here. And then some people are like, whoa, I'm going to come back. And then other people I talk to later are like, oh, I'll never go there again. It's too much.
Never going again.
And then it was like, oh, there's like 40 people. Oh, wait till you see when there's 80 people, you know, but all that sort of stuff is, you know, when it comes to those experiences, like I can't remember who, I'm sure somebody said a quote, this quote or something similar to it about that. I mean, life is made up of a whole series of moments. They probably said it far more eloquently than that. But I always, that is kind of something I often reflect on, because it's the things that really jump out to me. Like, I mean, when you think about things that have happened or things that are, you know, that you've loved or that is really important to you. The things that I often, you know, realize, it's like, oh, it's just an individual little moment. It's individual. So therefore, you know, as time is moving on through sort of time and space, and as soon as a moment has happened, it's gone, and then it only lives in yours and other people's memory. But I often, you know, I have this, like, I profess to understand any of this, of course, but I have this personal theory, which I don't have any, you know, I don't have any quantum physics or anything to back it up or anything like that. Nothing. Oh, cool. Not that I would have to, but I always feel intuitively like everything that, you know, has happened or ever will happen is sort of always happening at the same time. And I don't know why I feel that's true, but I do, because it makes sense to me when I think about, I mean, other things, which I won't sort of go into, but just, you know, different, it just makes sense to me as an idea. It answers a lot of questions to me. You know,
you speak our language.
Yeah, we talk about this stuff all the time, about
parallel universes, which might be a bit too much for this podcast, but it's a very interesting consideration.
But it's have you read the Dune books?
No.
Yeah, so I mean, the recent sort of movie, I mean, that came out June. I had been a fan of the original movie, even though it's sort of heaps of people hate it. I think it's pretty interesting. But then I'd never read the books, and I'd had friends who had, but it's in terms of like I'm sort of a science fiction fan in some respects, but June, it's interesting. And the reason why I bring it up is because as I've just been listening to audiobooks, because then I just have been getting through a ridiculous amount of audiobooks when driving. It's like crazy. And so I've been listening. I listened to all six of all the first six June books. I'm like, oh my gosh, like there's so many recurring themes in it about you know, good and bad use of religion and politics, but time and space. It's got this theme through it, and it gets more into it as you go on into the stories about where prescience and time and space and things and being able to communicate the things that don't actually make any sense in how people usually think is like it takes X amount of time to go from A to B. But, you know, the reason why it makes sense to me is often from the little things that I've just experienced over the years, like still happens to this day. Like to this day, my wife and I will often, like not just like once a year or some, will often, you know, I'll call and it'll either be at exactly the same time we'll answer and she's on the other end. Like she's called at that microsecond, which I'm sure some mathematician would have some odds around that, or it's as we've called, like as we've called, she's on the other end. But that's happened, and I've thought, and that always to me has been, you know, because there's, and that's why that idea that I mentioned before makes sense to me, because there's something there about the fabric of whatever you want to call it, of time and space and sort of energy that isn't linked to distance or to where things are. And I mean, that's just something that always makes sense to me. It's not necessarily linked to, you know, you read other things and you go, oh, it's interesting that some, you know, quantum physicists are actually talking like pretty much about the same thing. And then you hear about certain religions are talking about pretty much exactly the same thing in a different way. And there's a lot of those themes in things like June too. So people are, you know, it's not exactly uncommon. It's like fairly, but it sort of flies under the radar. It's often, you know, like, you know, that's what sort of, it doesn't make sense. Therefore, I mean, you know, you discard it. But when it comes to say, like where the world of business, I'm like you were saying, you're working with people who are, you know, in I'm sort of largely their own, right? Like running their own businesses.
Yes.
And like where that meets their life is really interesting to me, not only because my wife and I run our own business and we like completely I mean, there's a lot of things people will straight up go, yes, we don't have to like use any words. We understand like a whole bunch of things. But the thing that has really jumped out to me in groups like BX, and speaking to you and speaking to a bunch of other people, you know, not even specifically at BX, but because I've been meeting like so many people and different coaches, is there's this really strong, wonderful sort of theme of, which seems to be, maybe it's just because I'm talking to more people about this now and it's not, it's always been around, but I feel like I'm just hearing more and more interesting conversations around, you know, the importance of where your life meets your business and sorting that out, like more than I have previously. Is that something that you find? Is it like more acceptable or like more common that people are having those kind of unified conversations more these days?
Yeah, I think people are starting to wake up definitely. I call it the ascension. We're all starting to realize there's more to life than the 3D grind. And as that's happening and our vibration is rising as a planet, that there's more and more of this. And then not only that, once you start, like you saw, then you start attracting that same thing into your life. You start seeing it because we all work off, if we're talking about vibration and frequency, you're attracting like a magnet what you're putting out. So if you're putting out those vibes, you're going to be seeing more and more of that and attracting the right people into your space. So there's no such thing as a coincidence. I talk on and on about synchronicities and synchronistic meetings. People are coming into people's lives for different reasons. I feel we're all some sort of soul family. We're all here for each other's lessons, and there's no mistakes in that. So that's the sort of spiritual answer to your question. And Diane might have a more logistical one. Diane, do you have anything different to that?
Well, I think that's the core of it, is things become a vibrational match. And it sounds a bit woo-woo and a bit hippie, but this is followed up by science. Mm. Like vibration attracts like vibrational frequency. And so within a business sense or a structural sense, once again, it's so important to look at the core or the foundation or the energetics, which is the word Michelle and I use, of what things are built on, not just your business, but also your relationships with client, with yourself, first of all, then clients, suppliers, anybody that comes into your field. You really need to look at the fuel, the embers, that's stoking the fire of which is your business. The intentional, or the intentions that sit underneath the things that you say and the actions that you take, will determine the outcome or the level of outcome, the standard of people that you meet, the standard of situations and synchronicities that are offered up to you, the challenges, because life is naturally benefits. There is benefits. And if you attach to those and only want one side of the coin, you're going to be bitterly disappointed. There's equally challenge. And once I learned this in structure and business, it absolutely revolutionized and altered the way that I did life and business. So it's looking for what the benefit of something is, looking at what the drawback is. So it neutralizes any human emotional charge to the outcome, to the support, or to the challenge.
Mm. I think I find all this incredibly interesting, especially given that this, not really hinting at, but asking about before, about like that meeting of business and life. But I just think it kind of surprises me, like, I guess in hindsight, when you reach a certain realization and you go, oh wow, it's kind of surprising that it never happened like this before, because it makes so much sense. You know, it's like, why wouldn't you talk about, you know, more often and more in depth, like life and business? And like, is that, do you think that in, you know, let's talk about specifically Western culture, do you feel like that has been mainly a cultural shift, or that it has more to do with what you were talking about before in terms of a shift in energy and vibration, and that's like a universal, or is it somewhere a sort of a melding of those things?
I think it's a melding, definitely a shift in consciousness versus a cult. Yeah, there's definitely a culture thing, but I just think people are starting to wake up. That's my biggest thing. They're just waking up. The consciousness is raising. It's like we've been going through life just robotic, autopilot, doing the thing that society told us to do, or whoever told us to do. And now we're starting to wake up and go, no, I actually don't agree. I don't agree to that. I don't subscribe to what the news is telling me. I don't believe, yes, there's a financial crisis, but it doesn't mean people aren't there spending money. You know, there's this COVID thing. I don't believe that the vaccine's doing what they say that it was doing back then. Mm. There's this awakening of us starting to listen to the whispers of our soul. And then the more of us out there teaching it and talking about it, the more people are waking up, because we're not talking to people's heads, our line of work. We're talking to people's hearts, their souls. And that's why we found it very hard to describe what we did. We only came up with that, you know, cut the crap, do the thing and be the woman you're born to be, like literally last week, because finally we had a strategy call and we got the masculine, I'll coach Komnenos in, got the man in.
Oh, yeah.
to bring the masculine into our heart-led business. And we realized, yes, we had a lot. Yeah, he brought that out of us because
masculine
that was missing. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it? I love when you have like sometimes surprising realizations and you just introduce something into the mix, or you're thinking like thanks to, you know, someone else or an experience. Or and I was going to then ask too, because you had something that jumped out at me. I thought it was a great term, and I didn't read like enough in it before the podcast, because I was just like, oh, just look at over some other things and like get a bit of an overview. But you had a term, divine hypnotics, that I thought was really interesting. Can you talk about that? Because I saw that and I was like, what an interesting meeting of words. And then I thought, I'm not going to try to understand. I'll just like, I'll just ask them on the podcast and they'll be able to like explain it properly.
Okay. Well, I'm going to preface this with a thought that I had earlier that I think on some level you just picked up, because I thought to myself, oh, I wonder how I share about divine hypnotics here. I just sensed that was that what was needed, but I wasn't just going to come out in the middle of a conversation and start talking about that. And that's a really good example of how things work on a vibrational level, and it became a match. So now you've asked us about it and I can share my version of it, and I'd love to also hear Michelle's, because it always complements each other. For me, or do you want to go first, Michelle? Because it was you turned the coin to the term.
Okay, I was just drinking water. We've done a lot of different training in our time, and we have a lot of modalities under our belt. And the most recent one was subconscious. We did some NLP work, neuro-linguistic programming, and subconscious work, hypnosis and all sorts. And we decided that nothing really captured exactly what we did. So I coined this term divine hypnotics. It just came poof out of nowhere. And I'm like, oh, surely it's taken. So I'm looking for trademarks and copyrights, and it's not, from what I can see, taken. And we wanted a term that covered everything we did. And I just, again, with that came through with me. We work with and support the mind, mind, body, spirit, but that's boring. Everyone talks about mind, body, spirit. But what we do, we've jazzed it up a bit. We work with the brain to rewire your brain. We work with your body to reconnect with your body and use embodiment processes. And we work with your being. That is the connection to yourself and the higher power and the community. So brain, body, being. So the triple B, brain, body, being, and the three pillars, which they've been trying to tell us we've needed in business for many years, and we've been telling them, go away, we don't need three pillars, but we do. So brain, body, being, and in the middle of that, where it all intersects is what we call true freedom, is when you can master the brain, the body, and the being and bring it all in, you have true freedom. And our divine hypnotics modality brings in all pieces of what we've learned up to this point. And a lot of it is subconscious. That's why the word hypnotics is in it. And a lot of it is a little bit woo-woo, which is where the word divine comes from. So bringing that in and then mixing it in with the head side of things, it's genius.
I think it's great.
Yeah, I really like it. It really jumped out to me, because maybe this is just like soul brain kind of thinking about stuff kind of approach. I like the sort of meeting of what's a good way to say it? A meeting of sort of a couple of seemingly incongruous things, but they make sense. And that at that point where you go, oh, it's funny that they're incongruous, but it makes sense, is kind of a great point. You know, it's like when you put in, you know, it's like in a design sense, it's where you have something old and something new together, and sometimes they shouldn't work, but that sort of incongruous nature of them is first of all interesting, and then when it makes sense. So I'll pass it then over to you also, Diane, so you can expand upon it if you want to.
A little bit. It was really beautiful watching Michelle come up with that, because we've been toying with it and talking about it for a long time. We were not yet, until we were, a vibrational match to creating this, those two sisters, our own modality. So my vision for this is Michelle's supported with the details and being a very outcome focused with creating a whole process around taking people through rewiring your brain through the NLP, reconnecting to your body through the somatic body work that we've done and bringing you to your being. We are now in the midst, we've already created, and you can get a session for 1 hour with us and experience that. Maybe that's something you want to look into. So 1 hour with us, and with that, you also get a hypnosis specifically personalized to you with your language, your representation patterns, everything, and 7 days of integration, because big changes happen and they happen fast. And the rest of the world, the dense world, the house, the family, the business, your staff, they won't keep up with you. So there needs to be an integration period. So you get 7 days Voxer access to either Michelle or I, who takes your call. The vision with this is that we work with other practitioners, health professionals, to teach them our modality. This is a very specific set in a very specific order that we do to get people certain outcomes and break through lineage patterns. This is not even stuff you've experienced in your lifetime. This is what's handed down from mother figure, father figure, grandparents. It's in your cells. It's in your DNA. There's trauma. There's abandonment. There's all sorts of shit that in life and business and relationships will cause you pain, like unbearable pain. And it's the thing, and you've all got one that keeps popping up. It's either your relationship or you never got any money or you're working really hard and you can't stop. Like, there's something for everyone. And it doesn't always, it's not something that's happened this lifetime, which is why it can't be located with a lot of the other modalities out there. It's come from a previous lifetime. So the vision is that we'll get practitioners on board so Michelle and I can keep creating and co-creating the community and the space and show others how to do this so they can take it out to the world in their own way and add their own herbs and spices, make it even better and support and serve more people. So it is a beautiful coming together of both Michelle and I's passions and personalities, because we are full spectrum and we're extremely different, but this modality is a representation of what is possible when you work through your own shit, when you let go or become aware of where you what's your whisper, put yourself with that so you can come to the interaction, whether it be at a networking group, in a partnership, in business. We get asked a lot because we're sisters, real sisters. We work together. We live together. We work out together. We, you know, kids are the same age. People say, do you two fight? Yes, we fight, but it's very conscious and aware fights. And this coaching couch that we're holding next week, which is an hour of 90-minute webinar, is going into how we do that in partnership. So very different. This is a representation of both of us and the coming together of that, how you can support yourself and show up in relationship to either another person, your business, your health, your relationship, whatever it is, and actually make a long-term sustainable change within your patterning, within your DNA, like actually creating new neurons in your brain that you didn't even know possible until we dive into your unconscious mind and your field, and it tells us without even telling us. It won't necessarily be words. We're both got a sixth sense and a gift to be able to pick up and tell you what you're not telling us. And then within 1 hour and 7 days, you can completely alter your direction and your trajectory of life in business, in love, in everything. So yeah, we get real passionate about this. I can feel myself getting hot.
Yeah, I can feel like it's very, very apparent to me. It comes like we're on Zoom, but it like jumps out through the screen, like in, or maybe that's the time and space thing. I'm sure it is. But like the I see also because you were talking about, like, you know, how you both work together and you're very different people, and in a funny way, that's like for me, that's like that interesting incongruous nature of those two words. That kind of has, I mean, I'm not going, okay, you're divine and you're this one, you know, it's not like that, but it's like, but if you were, which one would it be? Like,
oh, Diane, who's divine? I think you're the divine Diane.
Or maybe they're interchangeable, or maybe it's so I'll be the mediator then. It's like, maybe they're interchangeable. And maybe they're, maybe you're both them.
Do you know what I was going to say? Maybe we're both, depending on
how much food what's
required in the moment. And that's why we interchange so well and so quickly, because
maybe you're both juice and you're both burgers. Like you're both interchangeable. A lock that can like open and then the other side has the same lock.
You're the beef to my burger.
Beef to my burger.
So you're vegan.
Well, if you say so, yes.
I dare you to call your podcast that.
I'm
adding to your burger.
I will tell Andrew Komnenos this. And Andrew, if you're listening, next time I'll say this to you, and he'll call me and he'll abuse me and call me something silly. I'm sure. But I'll go, hey, I didn't make it up. It was Michelle and Diane. They said it.
Those two sisters did.
Yeah. They're the patsy. I'll just say they made it up. I'm just the, don't shoot the messenger, Andrew.
I love it.
Don't shoot the messenger. All right. Okay. So that's actually one of the most fun things, you know, which is kind of when you meet any new people. But like, honestly, because I always report, like a lot of people do, to their wives and husbands and people, like when they come home, and my wife's always like, oh, you know, what happened? And I mean, you tell me about, you know, because she always wants to, she's a visual person like me, and she's good at imagining things. And I'll like paint a picture about who I met, and then I'll like, and here's a picture of them. And like, and she'll be like, oh, wow, interesting. So I get to like, but the point is that it's been one of the most fun things about like the BX group, and then the sort of extended from that too, is how many nice, interesting people there are. But what it's also been for me is been like an extra reminder that I guess like sometimes you forget that like most people I reckon are actually quite nice. Like I actually like most people, and it's like easy to forget that sometimes if you have like someone's, you know, down and you have like some experience and you feel bad, like, you know, disproportionately so, because then it's like, actually, because it's kind of weird because most people are nice. And I think people just, and if they're not, often they might just be having a bad day or something. It's actually not because they're, you know, they're not evil or anything. They're not, you know, maliciously out there trying to be nasty to everyone every day. There's probably some people, but even those people are probably just, you know, just need some help.
They need just
they do. I mean, there's, you know, I don't think there's actually genuinely very few people who are actually just like, you know, they're running around like trying to cause mayhem. Maybe there's a few. I don't know. Probably not. But so what's your, it's, even though this is kind of designed generally, this podcast, not to be, you know, time-based talking about specific things so people can re-listen to it, and for those people listening who aren't looking at the date, this is at the start of July in 2024, and Michelle and Diane are going to talk about some cool new plans, like for things that they are going to be doing soon. What are some of those things?
It's good timing because, as I said, we just had our big session with Coach Komnenos, and we've restructured our business. So we had all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle there. Part of the picture was definitely there. We're very successful in business. But he helped us put all the pieces together, and we can see now the clarity of it. So we just had to tweak a few things. So a couple of upcoming things we've tweaked is we were running a 6-week online course called the Aligned Woman Academy, which we are still running, but it's going to become a monthly container. And it's about for women listening to the whispers of their soul. And we start with physicality. We build into relationships, finance, and living that aligned life that we've been talking about for the whole hour, you know, living the aligned life, the life where you're listening to yourself, you're getting to the cut in the crap, you're doing the thing, and then you become out of that Aligned Woman Academy, being the woman you're born to be. And then from that, people, the next step that if they want to work with us is our retreats. And they're like, we're very well known. We've nearly run 20 retreats and they're full, usually 20 women at each retreat. We've had mixed sex ones as well, but the women ones seems to be the one we keep going back to, and we run them 3 times a year. And that's our passion, and we just love retreats because of the change that happens instantly over those 4 days is just incredible. Life changes. And then they come out of that into the business mastermind, which we've just kicked off this morning's call with. So 6 or 7 women, just they're ready and they're doing the big actions. And
yeah, I think it's wonderful. I think there's a lot of, you know, it's, and it all, I'm not all of it, but a lot of it, you know, would it be true to say a lot of this then comes back to that idea of community and like, you know, and I think like another word which you used a couple of times during the podcast being co-creation too. Like that's like I don't run around, I'm not using the term co-creation all the time with people, but like it's something that I have thought about a bit more in recent times. It's also one of those kind of very apt terms, like faith in things, faith in yourself, faith in people, and like that creation, I guess, when it comes to community. Like, are there any other forms of, you know, if we're talking about community specifically with that term, are there other, I guess, like applications that are important and interesting when it comes to co-creation outside of, you know, just groups of people that you use or that you can think of?
You said, I just keep hearing the word application because we actually just created our own app. So,
did you?
I'm like, oh, it's funny you said the word application. So we have our own Those Two Sisters app, and it sort of relates to your question because we're starting to build that out and to give people that maybe aren't ready to jump into that Align Women Academy, just something like we created something called Permission to Stop, like a little.
Free, I saw that. Yeah.
11 minutes. They get 11 days, 11 minutes, just giving themselves permission to stop and actually ponder about the world. So there's little things on that are jumping on the app. Diane, do you have any other? Well, there's so much community stuff we do.
There really is so much community stuff. And, you know, Aligned Woman Academy at $300 a month for 6 months and longer if you want is a really good place to start. And then moving on to the retreats, because it's an absolute no-brainer once you've experienced it. But rewinding that a little bit, if you're not quite ready for that because you're only just hearing us for the first time on Saul's podcast, then seriously consider the coaching couch. That's where we start to prepare you for the depth, for you to be within a community, because that requires a certain amount of consciousness and awareness and commitment. Yeah. So coaching couch, which we run once a month, and something that we can do now, because I'm all about taking action now, feel the feeling, listen to the whisper. If you're listening to this and thinking, what can I do right now to get more of a sense of who these ladies are, what they do, what they have to offer, definitely you'll get an audio version of Michelle's chapter in my third book, The Aligned Woman's Way. So we'll gift you that. And depending on where you want to go from there, we've got divine hypnotic hypnosis that we can share. Or what I find for a lot of entrepreneurs, and this is a business podcast, is the overwhelm hypnosis. Wow. Start there, put it on when you go to sleep. It's going to remove all the stuff. While you sleep, we work with people's unconscious mind, so you don't have to do more, get busier. It's like, what are you currently doing, and how can we work with that to implement a really an extremely high performance life? Not by doing more and wearing yourself out and burning out. It's like, where is those little tweaks and those little refinements? And that's what we do as coaches and as community. And that's where the creation starts. Yeah, let's jump on, listen to Michelle's podcast, listen to the hypnosis, which we can offer up for you, Saul, to put in down below. Can you remember the name of it, Michelle, the overwhelm one?
No.
Overcoming or presently productive. Like, we do put a spin on things, and people get – one of my favorite things with this is people get lifelong changes really quickly in the click of a fingers when they – are supported and seen by a community and learn to cut the crap, do the thing, neutralize anything that's stopping you. And this is not me and Michelle telling people what to do. This is why I call it a co-creation, because I listen, Michelle listens with more than our ears. We've got this sixth sense, and this is where the co-creation step, you may not even know it, but we hear it. You're telling us. And then we just give you the structure and the community to get the thing done. And then within 6 months of the mastermind or whatever it is you choose to work with us, you're getting lifelong dreams ticked off and there's no elevation. And, oh, my God, I've written a book or done a podcast or created my own retreat. It's like, yeah, of course, that's my new normal. I am the woman who runs retreats. I am the woman who is now up to my 100, nearly 200th podcast. I am the woman that has created a product on global and started 30 people, including Andrew Commonwealth, his podcast. Like, you just get to do these things because you're around other women who do it and it becomes your identity. And then we build on that together. So
isn't it? Like it's and then it's only with the benefit of this often of hindsight that you go, oh wow, I'm like that person now all of a sudden. You go, I'm just me. I'm just, you know, Saul who does. Yeah.
And I'd love to share, I don't know what time you want to finish, but super quick story about that that might help people remember that is I was in a mastermind group a couple of years ago and they put a call out for people creating 100K a month, which was enormous to me back then. It was all men. There was about six men that's like, me, I'm doing it, pick me, because when you're in and around people that's their normal osmosis. We just chatted about that before. Mm. And I was the only woman. I'd done 100K a month once or twice, but it wasn't consistent. But I contacted them and I connected and said, hey, I'm not at 100K a month consistently yet, but I will be if I hang out with you guys more. There was a lot of to do that thing, do the thing. There was a lot of shit I had to overcome. I was the only woman. I wasn't at that point. All these excuses, but I did it because I know how, and that's what we do with our clients. They were like, yeah, of course. I ended up running the group. I ended up being within the group and listening to their conversations. One of the guys did $200,000 a day, and he said, well, it was him and his brother, funnily enough, and they said to me, Di, don't compare yourself to us. And I said, I won't insert names, but I said name. I'll call him John. John. I'm sitting here at coffee and lunch with you and your brother. I will compare myself to you because if I'm sitting here eating lunch with you, I can do that too. And they just looked at me and I felt like a bit of an idiot, to be honest, because I was like, I'm claiming this for myself. Within the 6 months of working together with this group, we did almost, not quite, but got up there to a pretty extravagant month. Once again, it hasn't been consistent, but mark my words, it will become our new normal eventually. And we're putting the systems and structures in place with Coach Commonwealth, which has been the missing link for our business in terms of strategy and high performance, to that becomes our new normal one day. And then people want to have lunch with us and they're going to claim it for themselves because it's our new normal. So I just like to share that story because I felt like an absolute tosser bringing these bunch of really high profile, amazing professional guys, little girl from Ipswich, who am I to do that? Only woman, all the story. And it made it my reality. Granted, it was only once. Michelle, I remember that day. Woo! But we've done it once. That means we can do it again. My peers are doing it. That means it can become my new normal a lot quicker.
You got the evidence there, right?
Yeah, sitting by a cafe by myself in Ipswich working away. I'm like, I want to be with you. I'm going to make the effort. I'm going to drive and get babysitters and do the thing. So
we took six figures in a day once.
Yeah.
One day.
More than once, actually.
Isn't it? Funny though, like once again, you know, I find like a lot of these things is that those, and this is probably very closely aligned to those different little voices too, because you know you're in like a certain flow, and then you're talking about those things become normal, and you don't then maybe have those voices maybe because they're not needed or they don't go, and maybe they're like a reminder sometimes too, but it's actually interesting to talk about those types of topics because it's something that my wife and I have spoken about in terms of things that we've just been, you know, trying to achieve just in our life, like things we're trying to get, and we're this other house we're working on, a few different things that a year ago we were talking about going, oh, we need to do da 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 da, and it seemed like a very unachievable sort of thing, and now like a year down the track, we had this. It's been an ongoing theme of us. It's either me reminding her or her reminding me, like going, like, you do realize we've actually done those things.
Yeah, reflection. And
we're like, powerful. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so is the evidence is there, but there's this this, once again, this recurring theme that seems to be like, for me now, it seems to be like an ultimate truth that applies to every single thing we do. I see it. I play like squash too. I'm a bit of a squash nerd. So like I'm always thinking about, you know, little nuances and ways to improve my game, blah, 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 and watching videos, doing all the things the squash nerds do. And then other things in our life. And it's that every, like it's very easy. Things all of a sudden, almost everything becomes incredibly easy once you are able to break it down into little incremental steps, because it's easier to see progress. You see results quickly, but you have to be patient. And then, but all of a sudden, then without realizing it, then a bunch of stuff has been done and achieved. And, you know, some of those ideas, like I find it, you know, they, hearing everything you've been talking about, I relate to some of those things very strongly in terms of, you know, certain realizations you have too. But I'll just, as we're getting towards the end of the podcast too, I just wanted to end on a, or near the end on a community family note, which is that I see that, was it Esme, Miller and Macy also have some cool stuff on your shop too. Yeah. I didn't actually, I saw that and I was looking and I was like, what are they doing? Because they're talking about some kids meditation, yeah, aren't they?
Yeah, so just so everybody knows, Mila is Michelle's eldest daughter and she's 11. Macy is Michelle's youngest daughter who is 7 now, Michelle? 8. And Esme is my little girl who's in between those two. She's nearly 10.
Yeah.
And it was so cute because actually, let me tell you what they've done. They've put meditations together in their own voice for other kids that experiences the challenge that they each have individually. So, for example, Miller struggled to sleep. So I just asked her a bunch of questions and she formulated her own meditation around sleep to help other kids sleep better. She's experiencing sometimes anxiety, so she's done another one around anxiety. Macy's was about kids being mean to her at school. So she was struggling with that and that was her challenge. So she did a meditation around that. Esme's dad, my husband, is a pilot and comes and goes for work. So something she's really challenged by is missing, and I travel for work as well. So missing mum or dad. And so I offered up for her, how would you feel if you could create income while you sleep, get money for your little things that you love to do and help another family? So they put together meditations and it's the sweetest thing. Michelle, do you want to, because I spent the time with the girls doing it and got the music and they're selling them for $3. They're on the website. Michelle listened to it one day and you want to share that really powerful moment.
What, just when I cried? It's very, they're very, very good. Very, like, it blew me.
I got to listen to them. I saw that because, you know, because I'm a little boy, not little anymore. He's like 14. He's almost as tall as me now. But we often talk about, like, cool, because, you know, we've, because Hamlet's been like, you know, hearing my wife and I talk about business forever now since he was born, and stories and business. And he's also like really kind of entrepreneurial in his thinking. So seeing that, I was like, that's so great. I love it when I'm like absolutely going to listen to them. And they, you know, I love that meeting of business and family too. And like, it's fun, but it's often like really insightful in a completely unexpected way.
And the journey to get them to do it was really powerful as well. Me having my own expectation. Esme, my daughter, also helps me in the audio book of my second book, Millionaire Mum, The Best of Both Worlds. Esme reads out the chapters. And my expectation of what I thought I wanted the kids to do and how that journey was going to play out was poles apart from what actually happened, because I was trying to micromanage and I guess control in a sense these little girls, and they were not having it. They knew what they wanted. They just needed the structure and the boundaries. And yeah, Michelle, I'll hand over to you, because I remember the moment that you first listened to Macy's podcast and you were in absolute tears because it was so moving and so touching.
Oh yeah, it was amazing because I gave up control. Like, I'm very much the doer and I'm organized everything. And Diane,
she's the control freak, Saul, just saying, was not so much.
No way my kids were going to do this with
or
me.
Is it interchangeable?
Yeah, true. Yeah. So I just gave them up to Diane and I said, go out with Diane, Auntie Diane, and do whatever you're doing. And I was inside and I had no expectations. I didn't actually think it was probably going to work. And then she wouldn't let me listen to it till the team had put the music to it. And I sat down and listened to it and I just blubbered and blubbered and blubbered. It was so good. Their little voices hit your inner child. Like I quite often listen to their meditations. It's not really, it is for kids, but it's for adults too, because it hits in here. Like you're like, and their little voice is so innocent and it just reminds you of your childhood and your little inner child that was 6 or 8 and what you were going through and how it's brought into adulthood. And to hear my child is like, oh, like crying is so beautiful.
Oh my God. I'm absolutely hopeless when it comes to things like that.
Get your tears ready. And the fact that they did it with Auntie Diane. Because Di started with little Macy. Obviously, she's very young. Like, she was just sort of whispering little things in her ear and Macy would say them. Oh, and to think that they had this bond when they recorded it was just...
And here I was just thinking, oh, this is going to be shit because, to be honest, not that I'm a perfectionist, but when you're charging for things and things have got to go out, there's generally got to be a pretty good standard. And in the back of my brain, I'm like, oh, this is shit. But something else I'm really well known for is like just getting stuff done. It does not have to be perfect. Get it done. You can't edit nothing. So it even blew me away when I got to listen to Macy's meditation. I was like, that's actually really good. I did it with her. I went through the whole process. Each of the girls actually just different little characters coming out. I was like, I did it with them. I thought it was shit, but that is powerful. It is not perfect by any means, but it is so, insert swear word here, extremely powerful. So they're only $3 each. I can't give them for free because they're not my product. They belong to the girls and they get a percentage of that income. They're on the website. Wonderful.
My plumber's here, so I'm going to have to head off, Don. I'll let you finish it. Do you want my quote before I go, Saul?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. I've got so many, I don't know which one to say. But I think the biggest one that matches the podcast is make your dreams your new normal. That's me over and out, Diane. You can finish up because I've got to get my dishwasher put in.
There
thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, that's authentic. That's how it should be. That's the real deal. That's the and so we'll get just as a segue to that. What's your quote or what would you like to share as well, Diane?
My quote is, it's not about the how, it's about the now. So write that down if you've got pen and paper. I actually had it put up. I came up with that quote. And I used to think people that quoted themselves were dickheads. And then I started doing it. So I was like, well, they're not dickheads anymore. But it's so powerful to me and my clients because you want to do incredible things that not everybody else has done and only the top 10% of the world has done. The thing I hear most of you say most of the time, and even sometimes myself, still is like, I don't know, I want to do this, but I don't know how. And so I have, you know, primed them and prepped them to go, well, what do I know right now? I know how to make a phone call, do that. I know how to set up habits and follow through, do that. So it's not about the how. Reverse engineer it until you know what to do right now in this moment. Take that action and you will get your dreams very quickly. Not about the how, it's about the now. Diane McKendrick from Those Two Sisters.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane. This is
thank you very much. Voice.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's I'm super true, isn't it? Like it's the how, or at least a part of the how, or a future version of the how will also then come from your action in the now then as well. Like you'll have that realization that at some point you'll go, oh, right. Or then you've already done it and you go, oh, well, now I understand it in retrospect. Like it's a different sort of series of things, but I'll say to you, but also to Michelle, say, first of all, thank you so much for being on the podcast and, talking through all that in such a, you know, passionate but really well explained way too. Like it's actually explained, and I hope other people listening also feel the same too, but it was very, very clear and well explained. But can you then also just share, like we'll have these links in the with the podcast too, but what are the best ways for people to actually find out about those two sisters? Like, where do they go online and what do they do?
Okay, so you want to find out more about those two sisters, being my older sister and me, Michelle and me, go to the website www.those2sisters.com. You can find everything that you need from the website. That's where the meditations are. That's where our newsletter comes from. We call that the Sister Share. That's where all our products and services are, which we only spoke about 1% of them today. So that gives you a really good understanding, a really good feel for who we are. If you want to follow us on socials, a lot of people love our socials, particularly Michelle. She's hilarious, educational, entertaining. I'm a bit more serious, a bit more of a serious nature, and offer up more lessons and stuff. Michelle Ann on Instagram, Michelle Ann on Facebook, and me, Diane McKendrick, on both Instagram and Facebook. And then, of course, we have those two sisters, Instagram and Facebook. And after our strategy session with Coach Komonos, we realize most of our people are on LinkedIn. So you can find us on LinkedIn, Diane McKendrick or Michelle Ann Saunderson. So if that's more your flavor. And what we do, we've mentioned it a couple of times, is support women who live a lot from their head to listen to their whispers, to cut the crap, the BS excuses, do the thing that you've been saying you're going to do, to be the woman that you were born to be. So we remind you of your power. And if you're ready for that, even if you're not ready, just start to have a little stalk, have a little look around, see which one you like the most out of me and Michelle, and follow along. And then one day, hopefully find yourself at our retreats or in the academy with us. And in closing, I want to share, I just came up with another quote after listening to you, Saul. Hopefully no one else has got this yet, but I'd like to leave with this, or finalize with this. Master the skill of now, the present moment, master that, and the how reveals itself. Mm-hmm. I have to put your name there too, because we kind of came up. That's a co-creation there.
got in just before me. I was going to say co-creation. No, absolutely, absolutely wonderful. And for those people who want to act in the now, you might later on realize the how as well. It's a good time. Better now than never, right?
That's right. Maybe you'll just know.
Yeah, maybe. Thank you.
You already knew.
That's right. And in retrospect, you realize that.
Yeah.
But it's been so, so great. And thank you, everybody, yet again for listening to the Great Business Podcast. And we will see you, and you'll listen to us again soon. Say goodbye, Diane.
I want to say one more thing before I go, please.
Okay, what is it?
Make sure you go on, subscribe to Saul's podcast, and give him a 5-star rating.
Oh, wow, thanks.
Say that at the start or the finish, but that's me. This is my shout out to you. Yeah, if you're loving this and you're loving the guests and the content, go and make sure you subscribe to Saul's podcast and give him the 5-star rating. Help him reach more people, engage with more people, and that's what it's all about.
Thank you. That's very nice of you. And can you do a good also goodbye from Michelle in Michelle's voice?
In Michelle's voice. Oh my God. Thank you everybody for listening. I've had so much fun. I've got to go see the plumber. Hope he's hot. Follow my socials to follow along and see if this plumber is hot. So I won't tell you why I need the plumber. Michelle's really funny. I'm not as funny as her, but hopefully that made you laugh. Now she has to listen to find out what I said when I was pretending to be her.
That's right. We'll send her a secret email later on. Wait, make sure you listen until the end, because there's going to be a big scoop right at the end of the podcast.
I love it.
On a very serious note, thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Say goodbye, Diane.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Diane.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Grow Your Business. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at the Grow Your Business Podcast.